or callers on this program do not necessarily represent the positions of WMBS Radio.
Well, sorry about that, folks. I hit a button by mistake and cut off the old theme song. Russ Rhodes with What's On Your Mind, 590 WMBS Uniontown. I am sitting in for Mark Rachel today. Before we get going, we'll let you know we are brought to you by Gabler's Drugstore, Chestnut Ridge Counseling, Rock Bottom Motors, and The Laundromat. In the studio today with me, we have Fayette County Commissioner Al Ambrosini. I invited the commissioner in to come on in, have a little conversation, to talk about the pending prison project. And Commissioner, thank you very much for joining us. Taking time out of your busy day. I'm hoping we can get a little information and some knowledge out of this today.
Well, that's the first call that I've made. Thank you for inviting me. And that is the mission, to impart some knowledge. Hopefully people have a better understanding of what our problems are in the existing facilities and what we're going to do to correct the problems. In addition, you know, why it's in the long run, and, you know, as soon as this facility goes into operations, we're actually going to be able to save money. And simply because, and we'll talk about this in a little more detail as we go on, but the situation right now is we're operating so inefficiently because of antiquated facilities and the fact that it's too small and we're sending people outside the county. So we will actually be able to reduce our budget expense with a new facility, even when you consider the debt service, the mortgage payment, as you will.
Okay. Well, hey, let's go back to the beginning. At what point were you made aware of the need of a new prison? Was this something you came up with on your own? Did somebody come to you and say, hey, we need to take a serious look at this?
Well, certainly there was a lot of people who were part of letting me know that we have a serious problem. You know, anywhere from my commissioner counterpart, Vince Zabotowski, to the DA's office, to the our court system, to the PD's office. Obviously, the warden himself expressed a lot of information about various issues and problems. And then, of course, I had available to me all of the reports that were done by, consultants previous to me going into office, clear back in the early 2000s, and actually a little bit earlier, that they basically all say the same thing, that the facility is inefficient, obsolete, and we needed a new facility. Now, we decided that it's, not a value to do another study. All we did was we wanted to see where we stood economically with where we need to go forward with. And so we did a economic analysis, and of course it was very favorable indicated to us that we needed to build a new facility. Let me just kind of back up a little bit and talk about the problem. The problem is we have a facility that's 125 years old. Now, and I tell everybody this, having a building 125 years old in itself, Russ, is not a problem.
I live in a house that's 120 years old, so.
Yeah, the problem is it was designed 125 years ago. So if you can imagine the improvements in how to manage inmates and in terms of the facilities, the way we utilize facilities today, the way we manage inmates today, our old facility just is not capable of managing the inmates efficiently. So we're wasting a lot of money with our existing facility.
Can you give an example of the inefficiency of watching?
Sure. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is, there's a whole bunch of things, but the first thing that comes to mind is in our current facility, we have a ratio of corrections officers to inmates of about 26 to 1, 26 inmates to every corrections officer. And that's because, you know, if you keep in mind now, this facility was designed to hold only, you know, we're holding actually in this old facility, we're holding three times as many inmates as it was designed to hold. And so over the years, we've utilized, you know, we've moved into storage rooms where we put in bunk beds and we hold some inmates dormitory style. We don't have the ability to lock those units down in terms of keeping the, you know, inmates separated from each other. So we have to, obviously the jail staff has to be very cautious about who they put in some of these dormitory style areas. They're obviously, and I almost hate to say this over the radio, but there's significant liability issues by having a facility that's with this many inmates in it that wasn't designed for it. And also, even at that, it's too small. We still have to send 30% or so of our inmates outside the county.
So what's the total number, and I know it fluctuates day to day, but roughly, what's the total number now between inmates currently housed downtown and those that are out of the county?
Well, we're, you know, we can hold about 262 inmates in the downtown facility. Typically, we hold 40 to 50 outside the county on average. And last year, that just the outside, just sending inmates outside the county, cost us about $1.5 million. $300,000 of that was just purely in transportation overtime costs, just to get the inmates back and forth. Now, nobody has a lot of capacity, so as a result, we have to send inmates to. We typically use about seven different facilities. Greene County, Butler, Beaver, Indiana, Crawford. I think we send, and we send people as far away as Center County, which is State College.
Hmm. Now that's a trek.
That's a pretty good trip.
That's a trek.
It's expensive. It ties people up all day. So it's really not safe to have those mm-hmm. people out on the road for that period of time. So there's a lot of, again, additional liability issues.
Okay, so if I did my math right, which I'm just doing in my head because I didn't write those figures down, we're about 310 prisoners.
Yes.
Yeah, 310, 320, right around in there. Okay. Well, so question is, now, 320 prisoners within the Fayette County judicial system right now. You're proposing a prison of 450 beds. Why such a great, why so many beds when we don't have that many in the system right now?
Well, you have to keep in mind that we need to build it for peak periods. In other words, you know, last summer, we had, usually the summertime is, usually we have some peak periods. And we had 112 inmates outside the county in the month of July. Can't remember if it was last year or the year before, but so we have to take that into account. The other thing is we don't want to build a facility that as soon as we open the doors it's too small. So we have to estimate what, you know, how many years we're going to have extra capacity, and so. One of the things we typically do, and nationally, census rate inside every county jail on average is about increases about 5% every year. And it almost doesn't. Now, we were very conservative. We estimated only 2.5% in our economic study. But
has that been typical for the county?
No, it's
historically?
No, it's closer to 5%. You know, we're pretty much on target with everybody else. Now, we're hoping that with some of the, you know, the day reporting program, some of the other alternative sentencing programs, we're hoping we could get that rate of increase down to 2.5%.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be between 2.5% and 5%. So we have to be ready for that. You know, we'd like not to have to add on to this facility for another 30 or 40 years. And if things work out, maybe we never will, if we can, you know, do some pretty smart things with the way we manage and rehabilitate inmates. You know, obviously some people are never going to be able to be rehabilitated.
Mm-hmm.
Some will. One of our problems, and a lot of people don't know this, but over the years, not only Pennsylvania, but states across the country have been closing down mental hospitals, hospitals that take care of mentally ill people. And what happens is those people don't have any place to go, so they end up being out on the street. They don't know how to, live under the rules, so to speak. And it's not that these are bad people or dangerous people. They just have behavioral health problems, but they end up getting caught up in our justice system. So, you know, we end up having, right now, we probably have, on average, we've been having about 25 to 30% of our inmates have behavioral health problems. And that's probably going to increase because of the number of hospitals that are being shut down,
mm-hmm.
that usually handle these people. So we have to, what we have to do is we have to develop programming to help rehabilitate these people, maybe be able to get them counseled well enough that we could get them into group homes or they could manage to live back at their homes with their families. So there's a lot of things that we have to do. And I'll tell you this, Russ. This is not a simple problem. There's no one solution. It's a very complicated problem, and it's going to require a complicated solution. So as I talk today, I'm going to talk about a number of these things,
mm-hmm.
that that we have to address. And without a facility that can handle these things, we have no hope to address these problems. And that's the situation we're in now with our old facility.
So from listening to you, it sounds like one of the goals, if and when this facility gets built, is to put in a rehabilitation process where recidivism will become, I can't say non-existent, but a lot less than what it is now, thereby lowering the amount of inmates that we're going to have to worry about in the future to stay within that 2.5% growth that you talked about, that you've budgeted for.
Yeah, that's right. There's the day. Let me talk about the day reporting program for a minute. We instituted that back in September. I think about a year or so ago, and basically what that involves, I'll just highlight it somewhat. If an inmate is sentenced, say, 6 to 9 months, the day reporting allows them to serve only half of their minimum sentence. So 6 months of that 6 to 9 months would be their minimum sentence. They would only have to serve 3 months. And then when they get to go home after 3 months, they have to call in every single day to the day reporting center, and then they have to go in at least once a week for counseling or drug testing, if that's the reason why they were there, and other services that we can provide that help them find employment. So if we have a facility that we can start that process of counseling from day one, when they're in that first 3 months, when they're in the Justice Center, Justice and Rehabilitation Center, then that will help them transition a lot more easily into going home and going into the day reporting center process, because they already have a feel for what they're expected to do. And that should make that process much more successful, and thereby reducing recidivism. Now, the reason part of this issue is to try to help rehabilitate people is because we already warehouse people. We know the results of that, mm-hmm. and the results aren't effective. You know, a lot of the inmates that when we let them out, you know, sometimes within a week they're back in the facility. So our recidivism rate is very, very high. And the in terms of how we rehabilitate those people, we have obviously we have a mental health agency, we have a children mm-hmm. and youth service agency to help people with their families. We have drug and alcohol agency. We're even going to develop we're in the process of developing a gambling addiction program to help people. Well, so there's a lot of issues.
And let me, Commissioner, I'm going to cut you off there for a second, because we do have to pay a few bills here. So we'll get back to you here shortly. So in the meantime, I want to ask everybody out there, how much are you paying? Gaber's Drugs here in Uniontown and Carmichael's wants to know your answer. Gaber's has a corner ad 6 days a week in the Herald Standard with their everyday low pricing and specials. So check them out. And while you're there, why don't you transfer your prescriptions over to Gaber's Drug so you can enjoy their close-to-the-door parking, their free prescription delivery, or their convenient prescription drive-through. Gabler's accepts the UPMC, I got my tongue wrapped around my eye tooth there, Express, Medco, and Highmark prescription plans. Gabler's offers, as I already said, convenient one-stop shopping for your everyday needs, including pool supplies and the chemicals needed. And unfortunately, it's getting to that back-to-school time, so they have plenty of supplies for that as well. Hey, Pirate fans, they're in the middle of a pennant race right now. Go out there and check out their team logo merchandise. And Steelers, they're gearing up. You can get their merchandise as well as Penguins items. Hey, you need a special card for an occasion? Stop in at Gabler's, where beautiful greeting cards are always discounted 20%. Gabler's Drug Inn, Uniontown and Carmichael's, open 7 days a week with convenient hours. Everything you want in a drugstore.
It's August, it's hot, and so are the deals at Chesler's annual wall-to-wall furniture sale. Looking to update your living room? Chesler's has a camelback print sofa, $5.99, a two-piece brown sectional, $7.99, and an 86-inch Craftmaster traditional sofa, $9.99. Bedroom deals include a three-piece Pine Guest bedroom suit, $8.49, Merlot finished contemporary bedroom, $8.49. Dining room deals include a three-piece natural oak set, $2.85, three-piece espresso drop leaf set, $3.39. Chesler's has a nice selection of oak dining chairs starting at $79, counter and bar stools starting at $35. Miscellaneous items include a large 36x36 castored ottoman, $3.99, best glider rocker, $2.99, and a large selection of table lamps starting at $49. Chesler's carries two-sided mattress sets that can be turned over for double usage. Sold in sets only, with free setup and removal. Chesler's Fine Furniture, Route 51 next to the Fayette Plaza.
Place de l'attention, let's get started. First, we'll go over the days of the week en français. Allie, why don't you start us off?
Monday, lundi. Or if you're at the laundromat, Monday is also dollar off the price of a wash in a 30-pound washer.
Allie, that's really not necessary to talk about the deals at the laundromat in New Salem.
I just can't help myself. These deals are just so great. Like on Tuesday or mardi, the large dryers are just 75 cents. Wednesdays or mercredi, it's a twofer. Drop-off service is just 85 cents a pound. That's a wash, dry, and fold. Or you can get a dollar off the 20-pound washers. Thursday or jeudi, you can see how you can receive a $20 sheets card. And on Fridays or vendredi, get a 20-pound wash free with the use of 160 or 30-pound washer. And right now, each time you come in, you can get a ticket to win a $100 Walmart or Shop and Save card. No purchase necessary.
Okay, class is dismissed. I've got some clothes I need to wash.
That's The Laundromat at the corner of Main and Mill Street in New Salem. Open 7 to 7 daily. Give them a call at 724-381-8013.
See Rick George at Rock Bottom Motors, where bank financing has never been easier. See their lot at 125 Pittsburgh Street in Uniontown, with vehicles available from model year 2000 through 2012. Or visit their website at rockbottominc.com. Rock Bottom Motors, where every vehicle comes with a 3-month warranty and free Carfax. Call 724-439-1499 for Rock Bottom Motors.
People say I'm too serious. Those funny ads for car insurance do nothing for me. I like Erie Insurance. It's seriously good. A great rate, legendary service, accident forgiveness. Not one, but 8 reasons to switch. Woohoo! See, I can get as excited as the next guy.
Your Erie agent in Fayette County is the Copac Insurance Agency. Get a quote at 724-583-2634 or visit copacinsurance.com.
Okay, we're back at WMBS 590 Uniontown. What's on your mind? We are brought to you today by Gaber's Drugstore, Chestnut Ridge Counseling, Rock Bottom Motors, and The Laundromat. I am Russ Rhodes. I am sitting in for Mark Rafel today. He's not vacationing. He does have some prior commitments, so he will be back in the studios tomorrow. In the studio today with me, though, is Commissioner Al Ambrosini, and we are talking about the controversial, would you say, prison project, put it lightly.
Yeah, I guess you could say that, Russ, but, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be, because it's a project that, we've clearly shown has been long overdue being addressed. There's, we've did the economic study. We actually put that on our Fayette County website so anybody can look at it. And it clearly states that a new efficient facility is the way to go.
So it was based off of that study then that you made the decision to go for new as opposed to renovate?
Well, it wasn't just me. It was.
I understand.
It was. First of all, the entire prison board, minus one person, agreed that we need to go forward with a new facility. The majority of the three commissioners voted for it. It was. And it was a recommendation from the prison working group or team that was assembled approximately 2 years ago to determine to look at all the information and the potential options that we should do. So I could tell you, I've gotten letters of endorsement from the courts, from the president judge, from the public defender's office, from the district attorney's office, obviously the warden, and other law enforcement. And so, in general, it is the right thing to do. And one of the things that I hope people hear me say, and I hope they understand, that if we do nothing, if we keep operating like we are, then it's going to actually cost us more money as we go forward than it would if we build a brand new facility. That's how far the can has been kicked down the road. We're actually extremely inefficient right now, and we're wasting taxpayers' money. And I'll give you a good example. In 2002, the then commissioners decided, the overcrowding didn't start yesterday. Mm-hmm. So about 12, 14 years ago, they decided that they need to do something. So what they did was they built a metal butler building. It's a dormitory style metal building that they can hold about 70 to 75 inmates in, that was built down over the hill behind the courthouse. And, you know, there's, and let me say this, that when you build something, there's two major costs. Obviously, the cost of construction, and there's the cost of operations, which can be just as important and usually more important. Well, by today's standards, of course, you can watch in a single facility, you can watch 72 inmates with one corrections officer. In that facility, you need two because it's a standalone facility. And so because you have that extra person down there, you know, that has to be there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. The cost of having a person or a group of people that's going to work shifts to cover that, plus their benefits, cost the county taxpayers about $320,000 a year. Now, if they would have built an efficient facility back then, that would have resulted in, between 2002 and now, that would have resulted in a $4 million savings. That $4 million could have gone to help paying the facility off. So we wasted that money. That $4 million is gone. We're not going to get it back. It's not going to help with bricks and mortar. So we need to bite the bullet, build an efficient facility now, and it will basically create remarkable efficiencies.
So with the new facility, then will, excuse me, are you going to be able to scale back the personnel needed? Through attrition, some of the corrections officers, will they no longer be needed?
Yeah, let me make this perfectly clear, because that's something a lot of people don't understand. The fact is, we won't need to hire anybody more. We're going to be able to watch more inmates. We're going to be able to, we'll be able to watch inmates from other counties without adding additional people. Therefore, everything we get, we can actually turn this, we can have a pretty big segment of this facility as a revenue-making facility.
You said something, and I was going to ask that. So you're looking now, once it's built, because of the 450 beds that you're not using all of them, you're looking to them maybe bring in inmates from out of county.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because that's what other counties are doing to us right now, and they're making money off of us. So we have to stop. First of all, we have to stop doing that. And then we could turn that around. We could make money off of other counties, and thereby even reducing our tax burden even more.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit bricks and mortar. What's the estimate for the cost? We've heard $32 million. That seems to be the common number out there that you're using for a budget.
Yeah, and that's probably going to be pretty close. It's going to be, the only way we're going to be able to tell is by advertising the bid packages, let the contractors bid on the project, and then when we see what their bids are, obviously we'll select the lowest bid. But that's when we'll know for sure what it's going to cost.
Okay. Now,
but I think, you know, with the experience of the architects and engineers that have been, obviously that's their field of expertise. So I'm comfortable that these numbers are pretty close.
Okay. Does that include the purchase price of the property?
I'd have to go back and look at it at the, I think we did put an estimate in there for the purchase price, so there's some portion of that probably in there.
Okay. And does that go towards the design that's being paid out to the architects?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. The design, the construction, there's all the basics that you would normally expect to construct a facility like this would be included in the cost estimate or the budget, so to speak.
When the bids go out and they come back in and they're open, if they are above this $32 million that you're budgeting for, at what point do you scale things back and start looking at something else to to stay within that budget?
Well, it depends on. Well, that's kind of a tough question. If I don't know what the bids are going to be.
Well, I mean, if it's $5 million above, do you continue, or do you look at it and you come back and say we need to scale this back somehow to bring it?
Yeah. Here's the way I'll answer that, because it depends on what the reason is for any costs that go beyond what we estimated. It could be, you know, this cost estimate, this cost study was done 2 years ago. So if it's just simply because of an escalation in labor cost, then that's a good explanation. If it's, you know, material costs obviously can go up and probably has. So, you know, reasonably we can expect to see costs that are going potentially to be higher. But on the other hand, there's a lot of competition. There's not a lot of work out there for big contractors or any contractors for that matter. So we expect to see a lot of competitive bids. We expect to see a lot of contractors with sharp pencils bidding on this process. So, you know, on the other hand, it could come in lower than our cost estimate also. So, you know, there's a range here that we would feel comfortable within.
Since we're on the bid project, big question right now. Commissioner, why don't you tell us a little, the snafu that was recently and concerning the Pittsburgh Builders Exchange, the confusion over was this bid out already, was it not bid out already, why did somebody move forward and send the county money? Explain to us what happened there. Was procedures not followed?
Procedures were exactly followed. You know, the bid packages were ready toward the end of July. Obviously, I signed off on advertising the bid packages to our chief clerk. Our chief clerk, as she should have, she waited for a second signature. To date, she hasn't gotten that second signature, so she did not advertise. Now, in terms of what contractors and architects do, or not contractors, I'm sorry, architects and engineering firms do, what they'll do is they have what's called these planning rooms. They're basically websites that they put out information about upcoming projects. And so what they did was they indicated in these planning rooms, and the Pittsburgh one was one, stated that there's an upcoming gel project, and these are the anticipated times when the packages will be ready and potentially when the bids may be due. Now, and that's kind of standard procedure. It's normal that none of these planning rooms qualify as official advertisements for these projects. And I think, Russ, I'm not going to surprise you any when I say there's a little bit of politics played in here where people are trying to make a big deal out of it.
Politics? What's that?
Yeah, well, I'm starting to find out about the politics, being a first-term commissioner. But, you know, this is a normal process. As our chief solicitor already indicated in this morning's paper, it's the process. It's not... you know, these sites don't qualify as legal advertisements, and certainly it's actually, these sites are really good for the county because that creates a lot of interest. So when these bid packages do get advertised, there's going to be a lot more people interested in getting them. Now, just to make sure everybody understands, all this is a notification that there's a project that's going to be available here in Fayette County. These planning rooms don't get the specifications, they don't get any drawings, you know, the bid packages have not gone out to anybody. In fact, if you're a contractor and you want to bid on this, once this is officially advertised, you have to send a check into to the architect of $450, I believe, to get the bid package, because it's a large bundle of drawings, a number of specification books. I think there's four books involved. If you stacked them up on a table, they would be a foot high. Just the 8.5 by 11 specification books. So it's a big, complicated project, and it's going to require some time for these contractors to look it over. So, and that's why I'd like to get these bid packages advertised as soon as possible, because, you know, the county unfortunately is wasting money operating our old facility. You know, for every, you know, we just need to move forward.
When are you hoping for them to go out?
As soon as possible. I mean, as long as another commissioner signs off on advertising, we'll get them out there.
Okay. Well, Commissioner, we have to take another break here towards the end of the hour here. So we're going to do that. We'll come back. We'll finish up. A couple more questions. I know there was something else you wanted to talk about, the Penn State intern program. So
absolutely.
I haven't heard this before, so I'm going to be interested in hearing it myself. So, but in the meantime, Gaber's Drug, your family pharmacy here in Uniontown, and Carmichael's wants to know, what are you paying? Gaber's has a corner ad 6 days a week in the Herald Standard with their everyday low prices and specials. Hey, why not transfer your prescriptions to Gaber's and enjoy close-to-the-door parking, free prescription delivery, or their convenient prescription drive-through window? Gaber's accepts UPMC, Express, Medco, and Highmark prescription plans. They also have convenient one-stop shopping for everyday needs, such as pool supplies and chemicals. And that all-important for you parents out there, the back-to-school supplies. Hey, baseball fans, check out the Pirate Team logo merchandise, as well as Steelers and Penguin gear as well. Hey, need a greeting card for a special occasion? Stop in at Gaber's. They've got beautiful cards, and they're always discounted at 20%. Gaber's Drug in Uniontown and Carmichael's, open 7 days a week with convenient hours. Everything you want in a drugstore.
Armstrong's digital adapter is now even better. Our standard definition DA now features an on-screen interactive guide. See what's on now and what's on next. Discover information about your favorite shows or new series. Set parental controls and more. From your DA remote, quickly find your show or explore new programming. For more information on the guide, visit armstrongonewire.com/DA guide.
At Armstrong, we understand that not all TV shows are appropriate for everyone, especially children. Armstrong Digital Adapter gives you the power of parental controls. These are easy to set up and use. Block specific channels or block programs by rating. Protect young eyes and ears when you can't supervise your children's TV time. It's another great feature of Armstrong's digital adapter. For more information, visit armstrongonewire.com.
Meet Joy Murphy, outpatient program director for Chestnut Ridge Counseling Services. Joy, what type of treatments do you provide at Chestnut Ridge?
We provide outpatient services, behavioral health services for individuals, for groups, for families. We do mental health evaluations, psychiatric evaluations, and we also provide services for psychiatric medications. We serve children, we serve adolescents, adults, any age spectrum, and we have a lot of specialized services also for people who might have dual mental health issues, like addictions or eating disorders or trauma. We also deal with anger issues, grief issues with adults, elderly, children, all spectrums of developmental cycle.
Joy, why should someone come to Chestnut Ridge?
Well, we really do live up to our tagline. We treat every person as if they're family, and we do. You come here, you'll be greeted with a smile, you'll be seen quickly, promptly, you'll get what you need to be able to live quality life.
Chestnut Ridge Counseling Services in Uniontown, Collinsville, and Greensburg. For more information, visit their website at crcsi.org.
See Rick George at Rock Bottom Motors, where bank financing has never been easier. See their lot at 125 Pittsburgh Street in Uniontown, with vehicles available from model year 2000 through 2012. Or visit their website at rockbottominc.com. Rock Bottom Motors, where every vehicle comes with a 3-month warranty and free Carfax. Call 724-439-1499 for Rock Bottom Motors.
Do you avoid going out with friends and family because of your smile or ill-fitting dentures? Are your dentures cracked, loose, broken, or missing a tooth? Call the office of Dr. Jonathan Christner and Dr. Jennifer Haar, located at 600 Cherry Tree Lane, Uniontown. They can repair or reline your current dentures the same day in their in-house lab with a scheduled appointment. They also make new dentures. Call their office for your appointment at 724-438-0241.
And welcome back to What's On Your Mind. I am Russ Rhodes sitting in for Mark Rafel today on WMBS Uniontown. In the studios today with us is Commissioner Al Ambrosini, and we've been talking a little bit about the prison. Commissioner, you brought up earlier to me the Penn State intern program. I assume this has to deal with the prison. Fill us in.
Well, I've been talking to Penn State officials for many months, actually.
Main and campus, local campus?
The Fayette campus.
Okay.
Now, they have two programs that lend themselves very nicely to internship programs at the Justice and Rehabilitation Center. One of those is, of course, they have a criminal justice program, and they also have a psychology program. So these are two perfect programs to integrate into our counseling services within the facility. And the reason why this is, and by the way, Penn State is very excited about it. In fact, I talked to the new chancellor, Dr. Charles Patrick, a week or so ago, and he was extremely excited about this program because he wants to be able to run every student in those two programs through this internship program. And I kind of liken this this internship program with Penn State in these two areas to a residency program at a hospital. And I know that sounds strange, but what if you ever went to a teaching hospital where they have, you know, two or three residents following a physician around to the patient mm-hmm. rooms, and they collaborate to talk about the patient's condition and ways to help that patient. This would be pretty much the same. I mean, in a teaching hospital, you'll notice that the level of care is just a little bit higher than a non-teaching hospital. And I'm not diminishing non-teaching hospitals, but that collaborative effort does make a difference. And I think that when we do this internship program in our facility, it's going to help the students. It's going to help the inmates because, you know, it will help them understand that, hey, there's people out there trying to help them, and I think that will increase their self-esteem to the point where they'll take it upon themselves to work with the counselors, with the interns, to turn their lives around. So I'm pretty excited about that. As is Penn State. The other thing is, in addition to this, with the data that we'll be able to create from this, we'll be able to hopefully achieve some federal grants, federal research grants, that we can design and build on the information we get to create even better programming to help people. So I think that what we're going to see this facility become is going to be a model for the state of Pennsylvania. I think we're gonna do some things here that nobody else is doing, and it's going to create a big buzz in the state. I could tell you that the Secretary of the Department of Corrections, Dr. John Wetzel, is very excited about us getting this facility built.
It sounds like that's going to be a good program, Commissioner. I believe in internships myself. The question I have, though, concerning that, is that going to create a liability issue for the county by having college students in the facility that are not fully trained in the current criminal justice system?
No, I don't think it will. I think there, you know, we'll have enough safeguards that will, you know, we're going to have appropriate counseling rooms, not closet space the way we use now, where we couldn't do this now because you know, we're actually using closet space in the existing jail where the counselor and the inmate are basically knee to knee as they're sitting there talking to each other. I mean, it's just beyond imagination as to the conditions of our existing facility. But in the new facility, and I know that I've heard all the statements, the Taj Mahal statements, this facility is going to have concrete floors. It's going to have concrete block walls that are going to be painted. And the inmates, you know, units themselves, the housing units are going to have, you know, the standard bunks with, you know, the two beds per cell.
Commissioner, we're right up against the time. I want to thank you for coming. Will you come in again?
We need another hour at least.
We do. Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening. The CBS News has already started. This is WMBS Uniontown. Mark will be back tomorrow, and we'll talk to you soon.
Josh Earnest.
The cold and calculated manner in which ISIL has targeted defenseless Iraqis, like the Yazidis,